Praise the Lord. You may be seated. As you're seated, why don't you lift your voice and just thank God Almighty for all that He's doing in your life. So before we sit down and get comfortable, let us just pour out ourselves to God before we get started. In Jesus' name, God Almighty, I thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I thank You for Your word here today. God, for Your divine purpose. Lord, I thank You for knowing exactly what needs to be said and what needs to be heard here today. I pray that You'd bless every mind, every heart, and I pray that You'd open our understanding. Thank You for Your revelation and Your word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so good. You know, every time I come up here, I want to sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. But I don't think I'm going to sing it because I can't. Because to me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. To me, He is so wonderful. Just to know that Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. He is so good. He knows about our needs. He knows about our troubles. He knows about our pain and our suffering. And He still loves us. He still makes a way for us. He's so wonderful. He knows us better than we know ourselves. What a good God. What an awesome God. Well, today the focus of what I want to be talking about is happiness. Happiness God's way. Because the world has all kinds of ideas of happiness, and there's all kinds of philosophies and all that. But I want to talk about what really makes us happy. Now, we know that in the beginning, God created man for His pleasure, for relationship. Adam was created to be in relationship with God. Adam was man. Man was meant to be in relationship with God. God gave him dominion in Genesis 1 and 26. He gave him dominion. In Genesis 3, 8, he said he walked with God in the cool of the day. That means that Adam was in the presence of God. Adam had a relationship with God. He felt His presence. We read in Psalm 16, 11, it says, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy." So we can assert and we can just guess that Adam was probably pretty happy. Everything was right with him. He was doing what God created him to do. He was walking in this fullness of joy. He was living the life that God ordained and designed him to live. He was walking according to His purpose in creation. Adam was in a relationship with God, and it was good. It was right. But Adam was given a choice. And I'm now laying a foundation for where I'm going to go. And I know that this is elementary. This message here is to the Christian, to a person who has a walk with God, a person who has given their life to Jesus, has been buried in His name, has received His Spirit. This is who this message is for. This is why I'm talking about what true happiness. Of course, you can't have true happiness without relationship with God. And as we know, that relationship with God is giving your life to God and being buried in His name and being justified from the sins of this world. So laying that foundation, Adam was given a choice. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Don't do that thing. That's all. He could have done anything else he wanted, but God said, don't eat of that tree, and he was given a choice. As we know that later on, that he made a poor choice, and because of that, his life was less happy. A byproduct of that. He was given a choice, and he disobeyed, and he chose wrong. That was it. Now, we can read that, after his failures, after his falling short, after he chose the less happy life, God has always provided a way for His people to come in relationship with Him, to be right with Him, to be happy. God has always made a way for His people, for His creation, to be in perfect relationship with him. He's always made it where we can come to him, to have relationship with him, and to be happy. He's always provided that opportunity for man at some point in our life. Now, we read, but of course, let me back up. But all that, we have to choose him. We know that this has all been laid, but God's not going to make you do it. Just like he didn't make Adam. He didn't create Adam to be a robot. He didn't say, I'm going to bless you whether you like it or not. He's like, I'm going to give you a choice. You can be as happy as you want, but you got to do this. So he had the choice. We read in Psalms 128, 1 through 2. Sorry, I didn't give you my scriptures earlier. I apologize. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So we could assert, or we could take from this scripture, that you will be blessed and happy if you fear God or fear the Lord, and then do something about it. If you're not just fear God, but you are acting on it, that you're choosing him. Not just because you fear God, but, I mean, Adam could have respected that God said don't do that, but he had to actually act on that. So we could take from this that we have to fear God, and we have to respond, and we have to make that good choice. This goes along perfectly with what Jesus said, or it echoes what Jesus said when he told of the great commandment. And of course, the scripture is perfectly written. It's divine. It's awesome. It's the word of God. And it's so cool how it works together. Jesus said that the great commandment was to love, in Matthew 22, 37, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the great command was to love God with everything in you and to love people. Now, like I said, it's already been established that true happiness comes from choosing a right relationship with God. And he will not make us choose him. That's the thing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. He cannot force you to be happy. He cannot force you to live the life that he has set for you. Now, if we can step back, did you know that God absolutely wants the best for you? He wants you to be so happy. God, and all of our fear and doubt and worry, and when we get overwhelmed with all of our problems and all of life, and we get so distraught, and we want to give up. And we even think for a minute that God doesn't want us to be. Maybe God is thinking that we deserve this. Maybe God is unhappy with us. Maybe God loves you and wants you to succeed. His thoughts towards you are not for ill. They're not for bad. He wants you to succeed. So just letting you know that we have the ability to be happy. We have the ability to be happy in everything we do. And we know that happiness really is in the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. There is nothing like it. There's nothing like that. So I'm going to focus on two points for why we are not in right relationship with God, or two choices for why we're not in right relationship with God, or why we're not happy. The first one, we are not doing what we should be doing. This is one of the first ones, or we're neglecting. The second one is we are doing what we should not be doing, or we are willfully living in sin. These are two choices that keep us from being happy, but both are ultimately the same because we're not choosing God. Does that make sense? So, one is we are not doing what we should be doing, and the other is we are doing what we should not be doing. I'll elaborate. For the first one, it's hard to be happy when we've been living a life of neglect, neglecting what's important, or neglecting that alone time with God, neglecting our prayer life, neglecting fasting in our life, neglecting what really matters for whatever reason. This could be one of the reasons why we are not choosing God, why we're not happy. And this is one that's very sneaky, because before you know it, you've got so caught up in your life that you forgot about the life And we've been trying to live a life without the life, and therefore we are missing something. So one of the first things is we are not doing what we should be doing, which is having a relationship with God. Many of us as Christians or human beings just get caught up. So many things to do, so many places to go. And we get caught up away from things that we need to do to survive. I mean, essential. If we do not pray, if we do not read His Word, if we do not spend time with God, we cannot have relationship with God. We will not be happy. I mean, I know that it kind of sounds basic, but if you think about it, what really makes a person happy? You as a Christian, as a being that realizes that all glory, all goodness comes from God, then we can't be happy if we're not doing what we need to be doing, and that's spending time with God. So we could get busy, caught up with all kinds of things. So we begin, simply neglect is keeping us from being happy. We begin to focus our importance, or what we call important, on other things besides God. What we call important, whether on purpose or on accident, is no longer God. So all of the grand things in our life, we build up our empires, we collect all of our stuff, we get all of our things done, we make our checklists, and we get it all done. But all that we are raising up above our relationship with God. Sometimes we don't do that on purpose. This stream of thought, this society, this country, the way that we are wired is to go out and to do and to succeed and to get everything done. And if we're not will and if we're not being mindful of what happiness comes from, what really makes us happy, then we'll go up and build a kingdom that doesn't matter. It will never bring happiness, and it will never bring true peace. It will never bring the purpose that God has given us. And so we have to actively be aware of that. We begin to focus our importance on other things, jobs, families, kids, even church stuff. We just get busy with everyday life. We get busy. Another thing, even we get distracted, even fighting and problems in our life, other people. We begin to look for reasons why I'm not happy. We begin to look for reasons why we don't spend time with God. We will blame the whole world and accuse everybody else for not making us happy, when ultimately we know that true happiness comes from God. Nobody else here can make you happy. I cannot give you enough stuff to get you into heaven. I cannot give you enough stuff to make you in a right alignment with God. So nobody else can really give you what you are searching for. No stuff, no money, no things, no jobs. Nothing else is really going to ever fill that void that's inside of you that needs to be filled with God. So our fighting, our home life, our discontent, our problems, we'll even use that as a reason why we've been neglecting. I've been so caught up. I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. And that really stinks. That's such a hard thing. And I'm not minimizing anybody's struggle here. But at the same time, if we get our mind on God, if we get our mind on what real happiness is, then it's not going to matter what we go through. You could go through the worst things. There is suffering everywhere in this world, but yet, people are still living for God. People are still raising their hands and walking in the presence of God, living a life full of joy and happiness. Your situation does not determine your relationship with God. All the winds can come and blow and come and go and mess us up, but guess what? God is that solid rock, that foundation. He's never changing. He never moves. He's always the same. He always cares about us. And so if anything gives and waxes and wanes, it's us. So God is solid. God is our rock. And we need to focus on Him to be happy. Now, we get overwhelmed. You might be overwhelmed. Or on the other hand, you might be so caught up with stuff, you're just having fun, and you've not even thought about the fact that you've not been serving God. And that's why you've been having fun, but there's still something missing. Why am I not feeling good when I go to church? Why do I always feel broken when I'm not laughing in the moment? You know, there's happiness that the world brings, temporary pleasure, fun things. Someone says a funny joke or a movie that was good or whatever you do. That's temporary, but there's still a void. There's something lacking. There's something missing. There is a hole, a void that nobody else can fill, that nothing else can fill but God. So even though the temporary pleasures of the world might bring you fun, that void can only be filled. That purpose can only be filled by God. Now, if you fall into this category, if you meet this criteria, if neglecting prayer, reading, fasting, working for God is something that you can attest to or you can identify with, something you can do right now is confront this problem. Confront the problem. We've mentioned it. It's been brought to light. Now confront it. What are we going to do about it? Now that we know true happiness comes from God, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to continue to put God on the back burner and just, oh, well, I still got all these things? I would rather you quit everything and be in a relationship with God. Bottom line, your job ain't getting you into heaven. Your stuff isn't getting you into heaven. Your collections are not going to get you into heaven. What matters most? And that might mean we need to spend a little time thinking on these things and praying. But nothing else can fill that void. Nothing else can make you happy. So we need to confront this problem. Choose to be happy. Make time. Rearrange our schedule. Seek Him. You may have to sacrifice some things. Maybe we won't be able to watch so much TV. Because, listen, you cannot say that there's not a point in your life that you can't make some time for God. I know I am not. I struggle with this. Everybody struggles with this. I'm not pinpointing you and saying, oh, well, you know what, just suck it up and quit complaining. No, because I understand. We get so caught up and busy. But I know that there are things that I could do without. It's kind of my flesh versus my spirit, what I want to do versus what I should do. And that might mean we need to kind of step on ourselves so that God lives in our life. Now, in this case, if you did fall into this category, in this case, your lack of happiness is a good thing. Because it's an indicator that something is not right. If you're not happy right now, I don't want you to just wallow in that unhappiness and give up and say, oh, my life stinks, it's over. The fact that you're not happy could be a good thing because it's letting you know that something is not right. Something is not right in my life. I've been neglecting something. But you have already had an experience with God. You have already given your life to God. And so coming back to God and making that decision to live for God is still there. You can still do the right thing. That indicator means that something's missing and you can live for God. You can go back to God. You can do something about it. You know, and I guess you could say that, yes, your unhappiness isn't always a bad thing. There might be a reason why you've just been kind of struggling with something. You know, I would rather you struggle with it than to willfully and unknowingly just walk into a trap in your life. Maybe God's been convicting you about some things. Maybe you've been convicted that I'm not doing something. Maybe your unhappiness is really conviction. Maybe you feel so overwhelmed because you know that you've been putting what matters on the back burner. So your unhappiness right now could be a good thing because of the fact that you're not doing what you should be doing, but yet good things will happen. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way. That means you can get back in good relationship with God if you fall into this category for what I'm talking about. Amen? God's not a dummy. He knew what He was doing when He created emotions. Your unhappiness, your feelings are for a reason. They're not just for, you know, us. They can be indicators. God speaks to us and moves through us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to make us feel good and feel happy. That's why in His presence is fullness of joy. That's why there's nothing like it. He knows what He's doing. Okay, another problem. The second one. First one we talked about was not doing what we should be doing. The second one that I want to talk about is doing what we should not be doing. Another problem that causes unhappiness is willfully living in sin. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm just going to mention some of the works of the flesh that are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, willfully living in sin. Sometimes we make poor choices and life, and we might be living in a lifestyle of sin. You might even have a relationship with God, but yet you keep making the wrong decision and you keep living in sin. You keep doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing. You might even be having fun right now, but there's a void, like I said, that cannot be filled with anything other than God. I cannot tell you what the secret sin is, but I'm mentioning the fact that some of us are willfully doing things that we shouldn't be doing. If you know that you are doing something wrong every day or all the time that is against the will of God, if you know that you're doing that and you have knowledge of that, I want you to recognize the fact that that is going to kill you. That is keeping you from being happy. Because we know happiness is in relationship with God, is walking with God, is doing right, is meeting His will, is walking in His ways. That's what happiness is. And if we are having a relationship with God, but also doing something else that is displeasing to God, we are putting that above God. Because you can't do both. You can't be half in and half out. You will die. That's so miserable to be in that situation, because you're not really here nor there, and you're struggling with something, and you ultimately will fail. Plus, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, ultimately, if you are, let's just say, you love God, you're coming to church, and you're doing all these things, but yet you willfully keep going out, and when no one's looking, you might be doing some things that are against the will of God. And you'd be surprised at how many people around us, in our communities, in our lives, who are doing despicable things that we wouldn't even want to mention. And that's the thing that's really hard to come to grips with, is that nobody else may ever know your sin. Nobody else may never ever know that you've been willfully living in defiance of God. His ways and the ways of the world, they don't go together. His holiness is really just meaning devoid of all things. It's not like anything else. His holiness is the opposite of everything else. He's so good and so righteous. So you can't mingle them together. You can't be coming to church on Sundays and going and meeting your girlfriend on the weekdays, and then, you know, your boyfriend. I'm just saying, you know what the struggles are. There's a list of things in this world that is just, it's bad. It'll kill you. And if you meet this criteria, if you've been willfully living in sin, right now, like we mentioned before with the other one, you have the opportunity to confront the problem. I'll repeat it again. We know that in right relationship with God is happiness. And we know that if we want to live for God, and if we want to see Him, which if we do go to see Him, we will be by ourselves. Nobody else, none of your issues, none of your reasoning, none of the, oh, we fell in love, none of that matters, because it's just going to be you and God. If you meet the criteria of what I'm talking about, you have the opportunity to confront this problem. You can make a choice to be happy, and this weight of sin be lifted. Now, I'm not making light of the problem. Yes, throughout a lifestyle of sin and throughout making these decisions, you might have accumulated some other repercussions. There now might be some legal things that you have to deal with. It might be huge. It might be very hard, but it's worth it. Your soul is worth it. Your happiness is worth it. Let's praise God for a second on that. God, I love you, Lord. You're worth it. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I must do what it takes to be right with you because I want to be happy. I want to walk in this world and be happy. And I want to be in relationship with you. You might say, Sean, that's not an easy choice. It's easier said than done. And that's true. But no one else can choose for you. God's not going to make your choices for you. You know, there might be some things that you have to cut off, such as sin. I mean, these are basic principles that we should know. But sometimes when we kind of lay it all out and identify it like that, it makes it more understandable, comprehensive. And so we might need to straight up confront these problems and turn away. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the repercussions are, because I want you to make it. I want you to be happy. I want you to live in this life, and God wants you to be happy. Okay, now those are just two of the things that I wanted to talk about. The first was not doing what we should be doing. The second was doing what we should not be doing. Now, one of the things that's so amazing about being in this way in the kingdom of God, walking in his presence, filled with his spirit, is that you don't just feel happy. And this is, oh, this is something that's so awesome. The world's happiness, oh, doesn't even come close to being in the presence of God. Now, I know that I've been saying happy, but listen, when you're happy because you've been walking with God, there is no thing like being in the presence of God. There is no thing like walking and saying that, God, I love you. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to do what you've said. I'm going to search for you. I love you. And you know what? There's nothing like it. We read in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's in his presence. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We read in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So once again, you will walk in joy and peace and in hope in his presence. So you don't just have happiness. The world fills, you know, has all kinds of temporary happiness. But when you're walking with God, you're walking in righteousness, peace, joy, hope, true life. You're walking in the way that we should be, the way that God ordained it, the way that God designed it. We want to be happy the way that God made us. Then we need to be in relationship with God. We need to search for him. We might need to lay some things down. We might need to actively search for him, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. With God, in a relationship with God, you get joy in your heart. You get peace in your mind. You get righteousness as a byproduct in your lifestyle, in your choices. You get hope in your vision, your perception, and your outlook. You want to get happy? Get Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands. God, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, there is no thing that anyone could ever say that would outweigh your presence and your power. God, I thank you right now for your word and for your truth. I know that you have a message for somebody here today that, Lord, in their lives is something that you want. God, that there is something that we can identify in our lives, some things we might need to give up, some things we might need to do more of, but, Lord, you're obtainable. God, a happy life and a joyous life is at our reach. And I thank you, God, for your words and for your wisdom. I thank you for painting a picture in my own life. Lord, for speaking right now to that need in my life. for speaking right now to that issue in my life. Lord God, for revealing to me what it is that I must do. And now that I'm aware of it, God, help me. Give me the strength to choose you. Help me to be able to walk in this life, to be able to go where you want me to go, to be able to be happy the way that you want me to be happy, to choose you, God. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in my life, for all that you have ordained in my life. I am not going to give up because, God, in your presence, and right now I'm in your presence, there is fullness of joy. There is fullness of hope. God, my mind and my attitude, I'm going to look forward that hope of glory. I'm going to keep my mind on you, Lord, because I know that in you all things are made new, that there is hope for tomorrow, that, Lord God, it's not over in my life, that I have hope in you. God, I don't have to worry about my problems. I don't have to worry about my issues. I don't have to worry because, Lord, my mind and my heart and my hope are on you. I know that everything is going to be all right. I've experienced your presence before. You've done it before. You'll do it again. And God, no matter what, if I step out, you're going to meet me there and you're going to make a way. I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to walk in the newness of life and I'm going to walk with expectancy that you're going to be there. I'm going to make it. God, I have hope. I have peace. I have joy. I'm happy. I choose you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I'm done exceptionally early. So if you would like, you can get up and you can greet somebody and you can tell them why you're happy. God bless you.